So, I'm trying to really help out around the house these days. She's here to be a testimony to that. And I gotta tell you though that guys are very different than women. Have you noticed that? Aren't you glad? You know, there's some things though that have to be done around the house that it just drives me crazy. It's that futile work, the work that just doesn't last. You know, the stuff that you just got to keep doing over and over again. Don't you hate that stuff? I mean, laundry. What's up with that? You know, you do it and it just, you know, the hamper's empty and the next day you look and it's full again. What's up with that? You know, it's like futile work. Dishes, same thing, right? That kind of stuff, I don't know. I don't know if other guys are like that, but I like to build things, you know, things that you can see and things that last. Amen. Well, this morning I want to talk to you about every one of us being engaged in building something that will last forever. There's a scripture I want us to start out with. It'll be our text today, and we'll see if Doug can bring it up here on the screen. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And verse 58. This will be our text, and we're going to be talking about work that lasts, labor that's not in vain. Paul wrote this passage of scripture in 1 Corinthians, and he said it this way in verse 58. He said, "Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." That your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Last week, we talked about writing the 29th chapter of Acts. And when I told you to turn there, some of you began to smile, realizing that there's only 28 chapters in Acts. But realizing that this is our time to be writing the next chapter of the Acts of the saints of God. This new chapter that we're a part of right now in God's history, in God's timing, is actually a continuation of what happened the day Jesus rose from the dead. And we sang songs today about the power of the resurrection, but sometimes we lose sight of just how powerful that was and how much it marked the beginning of a new era, the resurrection of Jesus from the dead and his ascension into heaven. He says, "All authority has been given unto me." In the end of Matthew's gospel, it culminates with that statement. All authority under heaven and earth has been given unto me. Therefore, remember I said when you see a therefore in scripture, find out what it's there for? Yeah. Therefore, he said, go. It was called the Great Commission. It really is the statement that follows his statement that says, "Now I am the king of all. I am the conquering king. I rose triumphant from the grave. I hold in my hand the scepter. I am the king of kings and the lord of lords. And you who follow me, you come under my banner. You who follow me, you come under the authority that I have." Which is what authority? All authority. All authority to do what? All authority to work as kingdom people, to advance the kingdom of God upon this earth. For now, the day that we're living in, people choose which kingdom to align themselves to, which kingdom to pledge their allegiance to. Remember the days we used to say the Pledge of Allegiance in school? One nation under God. Amen. In these days that we're living in, people decide whether they want to be a part of God's kingdom or not. You remember how we said it? There only is really two kingdoms upon this earth, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of evil. And even people that don't realize it are choosing to be in one or the other, right? Well, I guess choosing to be in one, for you have to know about it to choose to be in God's kingdom. To choose to belong to Christ, to give your life to Christ, to follow him. That's what it means to be a disciple, right? A follower of Christ. That's what it means to be a Christian, a follower of Christ, following him because he's our king, following him, pledging our allegiance to him. Right now, people choose, but do you know that won't last forever? There'll be a time. There'll be a time when the kingdom of God will be fully consummated on this earth, overthrowing every other kingdom. The time is described in the book of Revelation when the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord, of our God. That occurs when Jesus comes back to this earth physically again. Amen? Am I right? In the meantime, in the time we live in, the day of opportunity, the day of the kingdom which has come to this earth, we become followers of Jesus Christ. And so that means that we begin to live under his rule and reign. In doing so, we exchange the values of a worldly culture for kingdom values. Values of humility, values of selflessness, values of faithfulness, compassion. Amen? The reason that I got so excited when Bob told me about the insert that he would like to provide for our bulletin is he said that I wanted to put principles in that insert, principles of the kingdom, principles of what it means to be a Christian. Principles that we want to follow because they're Christ's principles. They're different than the world's principles, the things the world's values. We exchange priorities when we enter the kingdom of God. We exchange our priorities. Our priority no longer is getting as rich as possible just for our own selfish gain. Our priorities are not just to go out and have as much fun as possible no matter who gets hurt. Right? Our principles become in honoring Jesus in everything we say and do, even everything we think. Our principles are about honoring God and making decisions in our life that reflect our love for Jesus. Amen. We change the allegiance of our lives. We change the definitions of success. We exchange our passion for selfish pleasure, our addictions to comfort, our quest for acceptance by other people, by becoming like them. We exchange it to be followers, faithful followers of Christ. And we say to him, where you lead, amen. I will follow whatever the cost. Under the rule and reign of God, though, even though Jesus had made it very clear for us that we must count the cost of being a disciple, count the cost of following him, I want to tell you, I stand here as a testimony to tell you that the rewards of following are greater than the cost. Under the rule and reign of God, we find a sense of meaning and fulfillment in our lives that nothing else can come close to. We find an acceptance far beyond mere human acceptance. We find a love that's indestructible in God. We find a reason to live that infuses our life with meaning in our jobs, in our families, in our communities. That's what happens when we become a faithful follower of Christ. That's what happens when we enter the kingdom of God and we say, rule and reign in our life. When we live as kingdom people, we begin to let God's light shine in us and then through us to a world that lives in darkness. We let shine God's light shine in our words that we speak. As we describe how Christ has touched our own lives personally, every one of us, and how his light has healed our blindness, how we used to live before we came to know the truth of the light of the gospel of Christ. We let God's kingdom shine through us, through our actions, when we act with integrity. Right, Bob? Integrity. With mercy. With tenderness and compassion. We're letting God's kingdom shine through us. We also let it shine through our community, the way we live and interact with others as a church, as we worship together, as we serve one another together, as we pray for one another, as we respond to the Word of God together, as we celebrate communion, baptism, dedication of babies. It's all a part of being a covenant community in the kingdom of God. Christians living in community, in this kind of covenant community in the kingdom of God, is how we make known the kingdom of God to other people. Jesus taught the disciples a model prayer, and in that model prayer he said, pray this way, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The Bible pictures God ruling and reigning in heaven with everyone in heaven enjoying the benefit of his rule. That's what makes heaven so special, heaven so great. That's why it will be different than the current world that we live in. On the earth, it's another story. Here on earth, humans want to rule and reign over their own lives, right? They want to make their own decisions, whatever that decision may be. Who to marry, what to buy, where to work, what kind of people you want to become. We see humans reigning through government structures. We see human organizations being created like the United Nations that are supposed to be organizations that promote a global consciousness, a global peace. It's those very organizations that are afraid to declare evil when they see it in a religion that, quite frankly, is probably going to usher us into the end of the world. God created us and gave us the ability to have dominion over this world, but make no mistake about it, what that means is, you know, the statement to God that God made to Adam and Eve in the garden, have dominion. Make no mistake, what that means is the same thing that Jesus said when he said, all authority has been given unto me, therefore go and make disciples. It's the same statement that God made to Adam in the garden. You see, in a very, very real way, Jesus came to reverse the effects of the fall in the garden. So when he stood up and he said those words, he was reiterating those words that God first said to Adam. But when he said, have dominion, or Jesus said, now all authority has been given unto me, therefore go, what he was talking about is advance the kingdom of God upon the earth. God's rule and reign. It's the only place where there is peace, where there is fulfillment, where people can live together in harmony. I want you to imagine with me for a moment what this world would be like if it were a total Christian world. Some people, older people, even older than me, I know that's hard to believe, they remember a day when America used to be called a Christian nation, when there was a Pledge of Allegiance, when there even was prayer in schools. They remember those days. But I want you to imagine with me something even more powerful, more radical, maybe, in the way of seeing it today, a world that is completely Christian. I know it's hard to imagine right now, but you understand that that is the end game. That's the new world. You ever hear, you know, some presidents say a new world order? Well, God has a new world order. Have you read the book of Revelation? Have you got to the 21st chapter when Jesus comes back and sets straight the things that have gone astray and creates then what we just talked about, the kingdom of God upon the earth physically? Have you seen what happens then? Huh? The glorious freedom of the children of God who have pledged their allegiance to Him, living together then in peace and harmony, like God intended it to be. But I got to tell you, there is a spirit in this world that wants to make us think that because things are such a mess, that it is futile to do anything about it. And I got to tell you, that message comes from the pit of hell. Straight from the pit of hell. I hear Christians, you know, talking with that kind of fatalism, and it drives me absolutely bonkers. As if it's no good to declare God's kingdom because the world is such a mess, there's nothing that can be done until the Lord returns again. Let me ask you a question here this morning. What did Jesus say that we should be doing until He returns again? That's right. That's exactly right. He told stories, parables. And quite frankly, these ones aren't that hard to understand. In the book of Matthew chapter 21, if you want to look at this with me, I'll just be brief. In verse 35 in Matthew 21, He says, listen to this parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard and put a wall around it, dug a wine press, and built a watchtower. And then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and he went away on a journey. Verse 34 says, when the harvest time approached, he sent his servants to the tenants to collect his fruit. But the tenants seized his servants, beat one, killed another, and stoned a third. Well, then he sent other servants to them more than the first time, and the tenants treated them the same way. Last of all, he sent his son to them. They will respect my son, he said. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and take his inheritance. So they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of that vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? He will bring those wretches to a wretched end, they replied, and then he'll rent the vineyard to other tenants who will give him a share of the crops at harvest time. And Jesus said to them, have you never read in scriptures, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this and it's marvelous in our eyes. He said, therefore I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. Now, Jesus was speaking very specifically to the Jews at the time this passage was written. He was speaking to a people that rejected Him, His own people. He was speaking to a people that God had chosen to be His covenant people, but a people who rejected Him. People who refuse to bring forth the fruit of the kingdom. Now that word was a very strong word, and the Jews knew that they were speaking. He was speaking about them. But I got to tell you something. Today, that word is for us. Because we're God's covenant people now. He's our King. We're the tenants of this world. We're the stewards of what God has given us. Every one of you, everything you have, you are lent by God. You are stewards, you are tenants. You are to produce fruit for the kingdom of God in your life. And make no mistake about it, God will hold you accountable to that. Well, what do you mean? That doesn't sound like the gospel message. That's the gospel message. It's the gospel truth. For this reason you were saved, to bring forth fruit for the kingdom of God. King left, went back to heaven, and now he says, until I come back, be about my Father's business, be about the work of the kingdom, produce its proper fruit. What is that fruit that Christians are supposed to be engaged in bringing about? Righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. God intends His presence and His power to be reflected through us, through the work that He's called us to do. And He says, when you are working for Me, your labor is never in vain. Your labor is never in vain if you work for Me. Some people with a fatalist point of view, that, you know what I mean by that? It means that, well, you know, the world is so bad, why, you know, we can't do anything about it. I want to tell you that we are a part of a movement that began the day of the resurrection that will continue until Christ comes back again. We're not oiling the wheels, if you would, of a machine that's about to roll over a cliff. We're not restoring a great painting that will be soon thrown into the fire. We're not planting a garden that will soon be dug up for a construction site. When we work for God's kingdom, our work will last forever. Every act of love, of gratitude, of kindness, every work of art or music inspired by the love of God and the delight and the beauty of His holiness. Every minute spent teaching a handicapped child to talk or to walk. Every act of care, every act of nurture, every act of comfort, support for your fellow human beings, every prayer, every Spirit-led teaching, every bulletin insert, every deed that spreads the gospel, builds the church, honors the name of Jesus, and will find its way. Listen, it will find its way to the new creation, the new earth that God will one day make. Our work is not in vain. Jesus said, "Who then is that good servant? Who then is that faithful and wise servant whom his master has put in charge of the other servants in their household to give them food at the proper time?" He said, "It'll be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns." Given food to his servants at the proper time. Listen, every one of us who enters the kingdom of God is given work to do. Everyone. And it's all different. Thank goodness. God will give every one of us opportunities and the proper time to bring forth. Listen. Years ago, my wife, who was a speech therapist, began to notice that more and more kids were suffering from not being able to communicate properly and acting out, and she was touched by compassion that I know now came from the hand of God when she began to focus on children with autism and then gave her life to receive more training that would enable her to do a better job affecting kids' lives, families' lives. Back then, she didn't know that one day God would call her to create the Journey Center and an opportunity to be about a kingdom enterprise. A kingdom enterprise is what you and I are called to as well. Now, our enterprise may not be creating a company that serves children and families with autism. Our kingdom enterprise may simply be parenting our children, teaching them the kingdom values. Our kingdom enterprise may be grandparenting. Our kingdom enterprise may be just being a faithful husband or wife. God has a kingdom enterprise for all of us, that we're all to be instruments of God to advance his kingdom. Let me read you this passage of scripture. Doug, would you bring this up? Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, it says this. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And listen to verse 17. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Whatever you do, grandparents, whatever you do, parents, whatever you do, wives, whatever you do, husbands, whatever you do, children, whatever you do, in the name of the Lord. Isn't it interesting that it goes on to say, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Isn't it interesting that right after that statement, Paul gets real practical and saying, this is what it means in everyday life. That's why I'm excited, quite frankly, about the simulcast that's coming up. Because I know Jimmy Evans and his wife, and I know that the words that he'll be bringing forth will encourage and empower marriages to be the strong covenants that they're intended to be by God. Children, obey your parents, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, don't embitter your children, or they'll become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything. And do it, not only when their eye is on you to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Listen to verse 23. Read it with me. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. Since you know, not guess, know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ that you are serving. In the book of Esther, there comes a time when the nation of Israel is on the precipice of extinction. Did you know that? Mordecai had so coerced the king to create an edict that on a certain day, the people were permitted to exterminate, genocide, wipe out from the face of the earth every Jew in every part of the kingdom. Isn't it interesting to you that God raised up a little girl without parents left on this earth, whose uncle took her under his wing, nurtured her in the ways of God. And one day, God placed her in the kingdom. And Mordecai, when the time came for her to act, said to her, "For who knows that you have come to such a place, to this position, for such a time as this, for such a time as this." God takes a young girl and through her saves the whole nation. Don't tell me one person can't make a difference. Don't tell me you can't make a difference. You're called to kingdom work. It doesn't matter what your profession is. It doesn't matter whether you are an engineer or a stay-at-home husband. God has called you to his kingdom work. Whatever you do, that you can make this difference. God wants you to come as you are on this exciting adventure. When I married my wife, I knew it was going to be an adventure. I didn't know quite what kind of adventure, but it's always an adventure. Maybe you're feeling too empty right now in your life that you don't think you're giving God much to work with. You know, the Word of God is full of people just like that who didn't think they could be used by God. Examples of men and women where God met them at their thirstiest time in their lives. When you're tired and you're thirsty, huh? And turned them into streams of living water for the people around them. Maybe you're feeling disillusioned in your life because at this time it seems like your life is stagnated. You know what's great? God's mercies are new every morning, right? Every day is a new opportunity in the kingdom of God. A kairos moment, you know, a time when God has prescribed for you to be used by Him for such a time as this. Whatever your situation, whatever you've been through, you know, I once read a story about this guy who had a handkerchief, a beautiful hanky that was given to him. I can't remember now who gave it to him. Maybe it was his mother, I'm not sure. And it was one of his prized possessions, but it was in the days when they used to use ink pens, the old-fashioned kind, and ink had spilled on this handkerchief and ruined it, he thought. God put in his life a man who was an artist. And long story short, the artist was given the ink-stained hanky. And out of the pattern that the ink had created, the artist made a beautiful picture and gave the hanky back to the man. A piece of art. In your life, you know, sometimes we get stained, don't we? But that's what God is in the business of doing, creating a beautiful picture, redeeming everything you've ever been through. That's what God does best, redemption. You know what that means. It means taking what you've been through, all your hurts, all your failures, and turning it into something beautiful. He made something beautiful of my life. That's what He does. That's what He has called you to. You see, in the kingdom of God is a thing of beauty. That's why I'm so excited about the Church of God writ large, just redeeming the arts for God, dance and music, you know. The kingdom of God is a thing of beauty. God is a beautiful God. The beauty of His holiness. But the kingdom of God is costly. Jesus said it's the treasure in the field that would cause a man to sell everything he had and buy that field. The kingdom of God is more valuable than anything else we could be at work doing. Advancing the kingdom of God simply means you and me saying to Jesus, I want to be your representative on this earth. What you would do, I want to do. If you were in my shoes, Jesus, and getting up in the morning at 3 o'clock in the morning and getting dressed to go to work, what would you do, Jesus? That's what I want to do. Jesus, I want to do what you would do if you were in my shoes when I wake up with my kids in the morning, when I come home to my wife, when I invite my grandkids to my house for dinner. Jesus, I want to do what you would do in my shoes because that's what it means for me to be advancing your kingdom upon this earth. Doing what you would do, King Jesus. In my situation. And when you say to God, listen, when you say to God, I want to do what you would do in my situation. Buddy, you're in it. As that TV show says, you're in it to win it. Win what? To win the kingdom of God. To win the rewards that come to those who labor in the kingdom. It was an old song our pastor in Johnstown used to sing in that Southern Church of God accent that he had. Cleveland, Tennessee. You know. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. God takes little and turns it into something that will last forever. God's kingdom and the work you do in God's kingdom is the only thing that will last forever. I want you to know that every act, Jesus said it this way, even something as small as giving a cup of cold water to one of these little ones. What did Jesus say? You will not fail to receive your reward when you do it in Jesus' name. When you enter the kingdom of God in heaven, when you enter His presence if He tarries, when you enter into the throne room of God, everything that you have done for Him will be remembered and rewarded. This is the inheritance that we read about. Church, this is what it's about. Please, don't let the situation of this earth cause you to throw up your hands and say, nothing we can do about it. We're all going to hell in a handbasket. Nothing we can do about it. It's just too bad. Oh, Lord Jesus, come back again. It's not wrong to pray for the Lord Jesus to come back. Don't get me wrong. But when He comes back, what will He find you doing? That's the question. Will He find you actively at work, advancing His kingdom upon this earth? Or will He find you like that person who took the talent that he was given and buried it in the ground? You know what the master said about that servant. We have work to do, my friends. It's everyday work. It's just done in Jesus' name, as doing it under the Lord, doing what He would do in your situation with the opportunities that He will give you. Amen? And He will give you them. And it will be a great journey, a great adventure. For today is the first day of the rest of your life. Let's make it count for the kingdom. Amen? Father, we come before you. Lord God, we need your help in being able to see how to advance your kingdom in our day-to-day lives, Lord, how to do things in your name and for you. The things that we already are doing, Lord God, but the things that when we say to you, Lord, here I am, use me, all of a sudden you redeem and you bring into that which you want to do on the earth to advance your kingdom. Lord, one day we'll see how every act of kindness, every smile, every gesture of encouragement that we make to people has served to advance your kingdom. We may not see it ourselves, Lord, but one day you'll show us. You'll show us, Lord. Give us encouragement, Lord, to be about your Father's business, our Father's business. Father God, here we are. Use us. Here we are, Lord. We declare that you are our King and we are your followers. Lead us, Lord, into the work that you've called us to do, advancing your kingdom upon this fallen earth. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.